We'll continue with Thus Spake Ramana. We're at number 51. And this teaching is interesting for its ambivalence, perhaps, or ambiguity. Every plane has its own illusion, which can be destroyed only by another illusion on the same plane. For example, a man takes a full meal and goes to sleep. He dreams of being hungry in spite of the jagrat food in his stomach, right? Jagrat, the waking body's food. His dream body is hungry. To satisfy the dream hunger, he has to take dream food. Similarly, the illusion of ajnana, or nescience, ignorance, can be destroyed only by the illusion of guru upadesha, the master's teaching. Mukti, liberation, is ever present, and bondage is ever absent, yet the universal experience is the reverse. Okay. Is it true that every plane has its own illusion which can be destroyed only by another illusion on the same plane? I would say that is the illusion itself. And Ramana's own life is an example of it. So when Ramana was 16, he had the fear of death. Okay? And he could have dealt with that in any number of ways. He could have dealt with that in a, let's say, a tamasic way. He could have got drunk and tried to deaden his anxiety. He might have eventually died of alcohol, and he could have fallen into the lower death drive as a way of dealing with it, which would have been to fall into the illusion of that plane to try to solve the problem. He could have tried a rajasic means by going to get psychiatric help, and probably he would have received a pill that would have relieved the anxiety temporarily. He could have dealt with it that way. He could have gone to the temple and prayed and asked for help to deal with it. But he didn't do any of those things. That would have been trying to solve it on the plane of the illusion. Instead, he said, okay, I have fear of death, let's die. And he went through the plane of the illusion, and he solved the problem of his anxiety by leaving the plane on which the problem was seemingly created. In the same way that if you're hungry or anxious in a dream, the best way to solve it is not to get dream food, but to wake up and realize you're not hungry at all, right? So the solution is not on the plane in which the problem takes place. In fact, you can't solve a problem from the same plane on which the problem has been caused. You have to rise to a higher level of consciousness. You have to get to a different plane. But it is true that the ego, in its plane of illusion, believes it has to solve its problem in the plane of its own illusory existence. But what does that do? That creates more problems, more karma. Every time you try to solve a problem, let's say loneliness, abandonment, fear, whatever, and you get caught in an attachment relationship, you're going to end up with more problems created by that. And then we'll eventually be left and dumped and have to deal with the pain anyway. It won't be solved by an attempt to get an object of desire to solve the problem of the inability to cope with individual existence. All of the existential problems that are present within the plane of the ego illusion cannot be solved on that plane. They simply create further existential difficulties. And so, as Ramana then goes on to say, someone who is in a state of wanting to get out of the illusion, but ignorant, in a state of ajnana, will go to a guru who is projected as having the jnana, will receive the teaching, and if he can use the teaching, he will get out of the illusion. The problem, however, is by projecting that the solution belongs to another, you will simply get attached to that other rather than take the teachings in for yourself and use them to transcend the plane. Very few people who go to a guru for liberation get liberated. And that's true here as well. But you didn't come here to be liberated. You came here to solve other existential problems on the plane of the illusion. It's only when you realize that your real problem is being on the plane of illusion that you will then be able to make use of the teachings to realize that the solution is to leave that plane, and that that plane actually does not even exist. And so he says in the end here, mukti is ever present. You are already liberated, in other words, and bondage is absent, and yet the universal experience is the reverse. So the plane of illusion is simply a misunderstanding. It's not that one has to stop having a body or stop appearing in the phenomenal plane. No, one has to recognize that the phenomenal plane is not what it seems to be. It's a virtual reality, not an actual reality, a simulation, a hologram, a dream. And once you know you are in the dream and become lucid in the dream, you are then able to awaken from the dream. And nothing in the dream field then creates a problem, whether hunger or fear of death or any other problem, because the dream field itself is not something that you are dependent upon, attached to, or invested in. And it's that disinvestment from the belief system that creates the bondages that cause the plane to become a nightmare instead of a beautiful dream, and to separate nirvana from samsara, to make you feel that nirvana is far away and I can't reach it, when in fact you're already in it and you are it. That problem can only be solved through getting to the root of your own misunderstanding, your own ignorance of who you are. And so you can get that by going to talk to someone, by reading a book, or just by sitting still. But you have to sit still in the wakeful state in which all of the false beliefs fall away and the misunderstandings are eliminated. And then, voila, there is a realization that you are already in the state of mukti. But the mukti will not come by prayer or by technique or by any other attempt to get there from a plane that is different from there, because there is no there, and there is no here, except if you are present in that here-ness that is also there-ness, because you are absent from the phenomenal plane as consciousness. You're not in it. You've projected yourself into it. That's the illusion. And once you deproject yourself, by dissolving the mind that keeps you attached to the illusion that you're here, then you will realize that here and there are both illusory, and there is nowhere. And it's what Thomas Merton called the palace of nowhere that we really are. But when we get to the nowhere, then it's now here. And what is here is the very God self from which we have been exiled through the belief in what the linguistic contents of the mind have been projecting as a world in which there is no God. And it's that world that is a world of our own imagination that we are trapped in. And the problem is people have no control over their minds. Their minds are crazy and produce fantasies and splits, dissociated fragments. They get attacked by one fragment, they chase another, and they are lost in a world of their own imaginings. And they can't get out because they're invested in their identification with those characters in their video game. And it's only when you're willing to stop playing that game that you realize it never had any reality, and you are not bound to it except by your own obsession with it. And that requires the maturity to let go. And in the letting go, the liberation that is always present is realized. I'll read one more. Knowing the self is being the self, and being means existence, one's own existence, which no one denies any more than one denies one's eyes, although one cannot see them. The trouble lies with your desire to objectify the self, in the same way as you objectify your eyes when you place a mirror before them. You have been so accustomed to objectify that you lost the knowledge of yourself simply because the self cannot be objectified. You can't see the self in a mirror. You can see the eyeballs, but you can't see the one who's seeing through those eyeballs. So, who is to know the self? Can the insentient body or its mind know it? All the time you speak and think of your I, yet when questioned you deny knowledge of it. You are the self, yet you ask how to know the self. So again, it's a problem of misunderstanding. The self cannot be objectified. It doesn't exist on this plane. This plane is its dream. And you cannot solve your dream by trying to find your image in a mirror. But isn't that what everyone is doing? Finding someone to gaze at you to say, ah, yes, you're good, you're pretty, you're great, you're this or that, I approve of you. Oh, okay. And then you feel at ease. So when Ramana says being means existence, he doesn't mean existence as a phenomenal objective reality. He means the sense of presence. But the sense of presence is always actually absence. The world is present to you because you are absent from it. If you were in it, if you were the eyeball, you wouldn't be able to see. It's only because you are the absence that can use that instrument. And if you're out of body, you can still see. You don't need the eyes in order to do that. It's the third eye that is actually seeing. And that third eye cannot be objectified and cannot be opened by an eye doctor. And the problem with the two eyes is always a projection of a problem with the third eye. And so when you want to realize who you are, you can't do it through trying to find an objective means of discovering the solution to a problem that doesn't really exist, because you are not here. You are not the body. And therefore, whatever the problems are that are projected into the body and turned into symptoms have nothing to do with you except with your ignorance of who you are and your false identification with the body as the proof of your unworthiness because your body wasn't loved properly and you weren't cared for and you feel castrated and impotent and weak and helpless and confused. All of those come from the ignorance as to who you are and your identification with a body that cannot solve those problems or give you the satisfactions that you want that will bring you peace. And so you are on an endless treadmill that's called the wheel of birth and rebirth that will not be solved by entering even deeper into Kali Yuga. You cannot resolve the problem that has to do with the unreality of your worldview by trying to improve that worldview. You need to get out of it, to awaken, to realize that you are neither a subject nor an object. And when you discover what you are, what the self is, really, the ego, the I thought, and all of its baggage and all of its ignorance will fall away instantaneously and liberation will be realized. And it's only the solution of this problem through the silencing of the ego mind that can bring the reality of liberation. May we have the wisdom, the courage, the perseverance, the endurance, the clarity and the truthfulness required to silence the mind and realize you are free. May you feel the peace that comes through the realization that all the problems of existence are illusory. As is that existence itself, when based upon a projection of existence as being that of a body in a world. And may you know the deeper peace of solving all problems at a single stroke by entering into that inwardness in which you discover the real nature of the self. And may you know the supreme peace of realizing that self that is beyond existence and non-existence, beyond being and non-being, in the absolute core of the real that is eternal, infinite, and beyond the grasp of thought, and abide in the liberation that is your true nature. Now.